had to get the tape deck on.
Oh,
here.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking a minute ago while the news was going on about some early bird stuff, and we won't dwell on this too long, I know, but you guys with this Chris Hillman, Gene Clark, and McGuinn thing, it's really very, very, very successful here in town. It's incredible. You guys going to be touring as a threesome?
Yeah, we are. I'm not sure what time we're going to be coming to Tucson, but we probably will.
Oh, I hope so.
That we just did some stuff. We did like Seattle and Portland, and we ended up in Nashville, and in about a week and a half we're going out to the East Coast, and we're going to do some of those dates, and we'll probably be around here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go out on a tour with America in, I think, in June.
The Tucson America? There's only two of them.
Yeah.
One of them said bye-bye.
One of them went bye-bye, yeah.
Bye-bye. Pardon the pun there.
Oh.
Oh, so you possibly, might get here in Tucson.
I'm not sure of the date, but I'm sure we will eventually, you know.
Uh-huh. What about the three of you guys? With the album, it's very successful. Are you planning on sort of staying in that vein, maybe, or was it just sort of a hey, you know, glad to see you after all these years, let's do it and see.
No, it's like a more or less permanent situation. We have a contract to do at least two albums with Capitol, and we just would like to keep this going and then do other things on the side eventually, you know, like more solo albums or even possibly a reunited Birds thing at some point down the line, you know. But that's just speculation right now.
People out there can't see what he said, reunited Birds. I was smiling from ear to ear there. You guys had the other one about, 4 years ago?
In 73 we did one. It was sort of sloppy. We didn't really put as much into it as we could have.
Yeah, there's some good cuts on that album. I like it.
Well, there's some good stuff on it. It's just not quite as tight as it could have been, you know. And so we'd like to try it again sometime. It's not, you know, immediate, but...
Yeah. Do you find that, like, with people that you have worked for or worked with previously in years gone by, like Chris Hillman and Gene Clark, do you still sort of have the same... the flow, the energy, or does it take a while for you to sort of get reacquainted and start up again?
Well, we've been at it about over a year now.
Uh-huh.
You know, just we started working on the road before we cut the album. We took the show to Australia and New Zealand and, you know, worked for down there and did a tour down there. And we did some local dates in California. So we just sort of let the thing gradually accumulate, like the original, you know, thing back in the 60s. And it's got rifling now. You know, it's not just sort of going popping out of the... 2-inch barrel. It's like it's got some real, you know,
velocity.
Spin to it and velocity, right, and direction. So it is easier to work with these guys now than it was back then because we were like very immature at that point.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about a lot of the. You've probably read all the Rolling Stone and all the trade things about they review an album by anybody, by Crosby or by Hillman or by you. They always bring up the thing about, you know, back in the 60s, the Birds, blah, 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 blah. And they had a lot of problems as far as they always say the David Crosby, the ego thing about his head.
Well, we all had our, you know, ego problems.
But that was pretty much everybody had sort of.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't pick out David either.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not either. They're just, I'm just sort of quoting.
We like David. He's a good guy.
Good. So you're just in town visiting?
Yeah.
Visiting your parents, right?
Right, and my kids.
Mm-hmm. They're over here, and your wife.
Right.
She's cute.
Thank you.
She is cute. I thought I'd say that. Why not?
Why not? All right. I'm sure she... And I want to say hi, Mom and Dad and Brian over there.
Yeah, hey, that's great.
Is that legal? Can you do that?
You sure can. You just did it. That's no problem. Let's talk maybe a little bit here about guitars. There's a lot of people out there that we just had here at the station, the California... They're having the World Music Festival over there in California, and they have these big groups, Aerosmith, you know, these real rock'em sock'em groups, and they had a local thing where each town picks a winner of the Battle of the Bands.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I know there's a lot of people, and they gave away a Stratocaster guitar for Eric Clapton,
great.
A jet black Strat,
which
is really nice. You're, every time I say your name, I always say a Rickenbacker guitars, because I was telling you when we were coming up here in the elevator.
Right,
about,
you've got one of those with the three pickups and the Ricco sound and the whole deal.
Ricco sound, stereo, and Jim Brady, who works there, has a Rick bass.
They're great basses.
And I guess everybody is sort of that old roto sound strings. You can get that very distinctive note or tone. Same thing with your 12 string, too. I know it's really very distinctive.
I've played all the other brands of electric 12 string, and I like the Rick the best. It's got sort of a hollow kind of sound that you can't get on anything else.
Yeah. They're not paying us to do this.
No. I don't have any interest in the company. As a matter of fact, they still even charge me for guitars.
Do they?
Yeah. And I must have sold a bunch of them for them. But, you know, They make a good guitar. That's
you
all.
Still play that on the new album,
it's
right?
It's a difficult instrument to play because the neck is very narrow and it's hard to finger, you know.
I notice your ends of your fingers there have the characteristic
they got
callous
dents
city,
in them,
aren't
right?
they? Yeah, it's really hard. I know when I'm terrible, but it's very hard because I have 12 strings and the one I used to have was the world's widest neck and it used telephone lines for strings. I mean, these things were.
The Alexander Graham Bell model. Right?
this thing was a finger crushers, so how did you get into the guitar part of the thing? I mean, I remember I have an old album of yours that you probably won't even remember, 12 String Greats.
Oh yeah,
you remember that? Like Pete Seeger was on that or something.
Yeah,
it was.
We did it for Horizon Records.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
That was something I just did for Union Scale. I mean, I wanted the money, and it was like
I think you're Jim in that.
Yeah, Jim McGuinn.
McGuinn. Yeah.
I got into 12 string. I was a folky, and I was a big fan of Pete Seeger's and Bob Gibson's, and I went to the Old Town School of Folk Music, and I learned about the 12 string guitar over there, that there was such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately had to go out and get one, so I got an old Stella or something, and the action was about 20 miles high.
I had a Kent once.
I never heard of that one. Yeah.
They were.
But anyway, then I finally got a something else. I forget the brand, but it worked, uh-huh. And then I eventually got into, I got a Gibson one that was pretty well put together.
A little bit better, just kept kind of getting better.
It was converted. It was an old Gibson Hummingbird that they'd converted to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great, except Bobby Darin, rest his soul, knocked it over one night, and he bought me a new one. And
nice to look at, nice to hold. You busted it, consider it sold. Right?
Yeah.
That's an old saying. I thought I'd throw that in there. It may or may not make any totally difference.
I go back a long way with the 12-string. Uh-huh. Back about.
So you actually learned. You didn't learn on a 6-string and then graduated to the 12-string.
Well, no, I did learn on the 6-string, and then I got into the 12-string, but it was back in the 50s.
Uh-huh. Great.
I got into the banjo back then, too.
Uh-huh.
I did a banjo record, too.
You did?
Like the 12-string record.
It's one of those obscure things that...
You can't get them anymore.
You can't get them anymore. You hope.
No, well, you know.
Hopefully, no one will ever have that record again.
I've run into people once in a while who do. It's not. I'm not really ashamed of it. It's just not the greatest thing in the world either.
Yeah. What about, are you going to ever be possibly producing? Are you into that?
I'm interested in it if, the situation arises. I'm not going to go out and, collar some group and
force myself on
a Holiday Inn and say, I'm going to produce you guys and make you stars,
I'm Todd Rundgren's younger brother. He does a lot of that.
Does he do that?
And he's sort of Mr. Producer that occasionally puts out an album to.
Uh-huh. Mick Ronson does that too.
Yeah, same sort of thing.
Well, it's a good game, I mean, Mick pulls down, a few grand every time, and that's how he keeps himself going. I watched him do that. He'll just sort of coast along and find a situation to produce and do it.
So, is your home base is what, Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Yeah. San Fernando Valley?
On the 20th
Valley?
Floor of one of the buildings in Century City.
Oh, my God. Downtown, right?
Well, it's not downtown. Century City is like next door to Beverly Hills. It's kind of uptown,
Oh. I like your... Everybody out there can't see, but he has a very... Our program director would like your jacket. It's a sort of a tweed, very, very nice, conservative...
Thank you.
That's not radical. Did you say that? It's radical? His jacket?
Not radical.
Oh, it's not radical. Very nice. I wanted to compliment you on that. Very nice.
Thank you. I picked it up in London. We were just over there.
Yeah, right, mate. Were you?
Yeah. We did a little tour of Europe. We did Copenhagen, Paris, Amsterdam, and London.
Mm. And that was received... how were the birds? I know I lived in England for a couple of years. How was all that? Was that as big a thing over there as it was here?
Yeah,
or does it take like 5 or 6 years later?
They're very cultish about their music over there, and they got right into the birds. They thought that was great, because they like folk music, and we were coming from that direction. Uh-huh. So,
were you pretty well received?
Very well. Oh, yeah. Although, I mean, the kids liked us. The press was a little hostile because they were kind of nationalistic, and we were invading their territory at the time.
Tea bags hanging out of your ears would probably have worked.
Well, they questioned us, like, didn't you have a British accent on We'll Meet Again? I mean, what did you mean by
right,
that?
Right, mate.
Yeah, that's, well, we were just kidding around,
A little twang on the end of your voice, never heard anything. Speaking of that, we're going to do a cut here from your new album. Where did I put it? Here it is. McGuinn, Clark & Hillman, one that you like, right? And it says your name, you wrote it, right?
Yeah.
coincidence, you know, I guess bye bye baby. And who's the other guy there? R.J. Hippard?
Yeah, he's my pal. We wrote a lot of space songs together, like Space Odyssey and
CTA 102.
Right.
What was that?
Oh,
was,
that was,
they,
that
I
was
tried to
first...
play that back once. Backwards.
Yeah. Oh, it's nothing. It's
I thought
gibberish.
It might be like a, you know, but
no,
it's not really
we
anything.
Slowed the tape down and did these funny noises, you know, that, I mean, we were trying to be outer space people. Yeah. You know, what would you say if you were... the concept was, Hippard read in the paper where CTA 102 was the first quasar ever discovered.
Uh-huh.
It was discovered by some Russian astronomer, and it was in, like, Time and Newsweek and all that, and we picked up on it, and on the grounds that that it was possibly an intelligent form of life out in space, we thought we'd utilize the FM airwaves to communicate with it, you know, so we wrote a song that we knew would get played on the radio and be beamed out into space, and at this very moment, those signals are headed in that direction.
Yeah.
But then we found out later that CTA 102 was nothing more than a spinning, you know, star that was collapsing, so it was kind of a disappointment, but...
I used to like it, Mr. Spaceman, you know,
yeah.
Beer and booze, and woke up one morning and...
Yeah, that's
like how
like
I woke
that.
Up this morning. As
flies in
fact.
My beard, I think, was a line.
Toothpaste was smeared. Okay, we're going to do this cut here. We'll be right back talking to Roger.